Hallelujah. Praise God. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. It was a great day yesterday. It's always great when the weather cooperates with us. And everyone, we had a lot of people coming out. And all our helpers, man, we have a great church. You can't do these things without helpers and servers. And they just did an excellent job. And yes, we do, you know, in our ministry, our outreach ministry last week, was it last week already? Last week, man. And we connected with some families, and, you know, if you can help us out, please don't bring, you've always heard this, please don't bring the things that you don't want, like all ripped and stained, you know. Think about, you're giving this to Jesus, you know. What would you give to Jesus? And if you don't have something, hey, there's a lot of stores out there that you can go and purchase something. We really, the heart of the church, but really the heart of our young people that have been doing this is to be able to connect and stay connected to families. So, you know, we want to support that. And, you know, grab one of these guys or young ladies and ask them, hey, what do you need? Or if you have something during the week, you can drop it off at the church. Sandy's here during the week. And just connect with one of our leaders, and so we can continue to meet their needs. They're really hungry, and our young people have been connecting with them during the week. And we just want to build this relationship. So just, you know, pray, seek God, and see what He has have you to do. Praise God. It's awesome. The connection that we're building with our city, keep us all in prayer, keep myself in prayer, because I have been able to connect with our mayor of the city of Utica and to help us out in some of these areas of ministry. And so keep that in prayer for myself and for this church, that God continues to give us favor, and that's what it's all about. Going out and ministering, going out and loving the community. So, praise God. Hey, we've been doing, it's good to see everybody this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're so glad you're here. Sit back, relax, and just let God minister to you this morning. We've been doing a series called Man Can't, But God Can. And we've been talking about it's God's plan. He's the master builder. He's the artist. Excuse me. We've been talking about last week we talked about He's preparing us for what He has prepared for us. He has prepared something for you. And so we've been speaking on that. And today I'm going to kind of go into another part of this. And the title of this message is, In His Presence We Find Our Purpose. In His Presence We Find Our Purpose. When God is preparing us, when God is preparing you to do something, remember what I talked about, preparation's not a destination. See, we want to have a destination in life. We want to get everything like, okay, if I can just accomplish this goal, if I can just do this, then everything's going to be fine. And hey, when you're walking with Jesus, and you know Jesus is your personal Savior, and you've given your life to Jesus, your life does not end until God takes you home. There's no retirement with Jesus. You know, some people can retire from their jobs, but we don't retire from Jesus. Jesus is always preparing us for something. As long as you have breath in your lungs to breathe, God's saying, I have work to do and I need you. I want you to help. I want you to be part of what He is doing. We become co-laborers with Jesus. See, we think Jesus does it all and we sing about it. Yes, Jesus paid it all so that we can be co-laborers now with Jesus. And so, His presence, we find our purpose. We need to be marked by the very presence of God in our lives. Our relationship with God should be the number one thing in our life. It's not the third thing, or the fourth thing, the fifth thing, or one of many things. It has to be the number one thing. And Scripture speaks of God's presence always as being our safety, our security, our strength. And so we see this. And Psalm 16:11 is one of the verses I'd like us to read. I'm going to come up on the screen for you. You make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And I at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So thou wilt show me They will show me the path of life. You may know to me the path of life. And so when that word in the Bible, it says, you make known to me the path, or thou shalt show me the path. That means learn to know by experience, instructed. It's revealed, it's discerned. So when God starts showing us the path, we start seeing it because He speaks to us. He speaks to you. He's showing you and I the path of life. And I like that word life. That means living, flowing. It's like a river. And also, when you look in the Greek, that word life means revival. It means renew. So when you read that verse, thou shalt show me, I will know, I will learn to know, I will be instructed, it will be revealed to me the path of living waters, of renewal, of revival. Man, it has a different meaning now. I'm just not showing me the path of light to get through life and make it to the end. It's going to be a life with Jesus, and it's going to be renewed, and it's going to be revived. And so He's telling us, in that, in my presence, that's where you find the joy. Not in the purpose. You know, we can have purpose, but if we don't have His presence, then we're just doing things without Him. And so I like that verse because it says, in your presence, in His presence, that's where the joy is. So we're looking for joy. Sometimes we try to find joy in the purpose. Well, God, I'm doing what you asked me to do. And how come I don't feel joy? Because sometimes we get caught up in the purpose. All through the Bible, every time God spoke to someone, they had a purpose in life. But when you start reading, and we're going to read about Moses, Moses says, without your presence, we're not going. So, you know, we want to talk about that this morning. And in His presence, what we're talking about is, if you have Christ living inside, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, He's living inside of you through the Holy Spirit. We've talked about it. We know that through Scripture. He is there. The presence that we're going to talk about today is, how do you communicate with this presence? How do you talk to God? How do you hear God? How do you walk with God? How do you walk in His presence? And that's what we want to talk about today, because you can be in the same house with someone in their presence. That doesn't mean you are communicating with them, right? You can be in the presence of people and never say a word. Does that mean you have a relationship with them? You know, you could be in a spouse, a husband, a wife, your children, they could be in the house with you. But just because they're in the home, do you have communication? Is there a relationship? And that's what we want to talk about today, is the relationship and a presence and a communication. How do I hear God's voice? Can I hear God's voice? Can I talk to God? Can I be honest with God? Well, there was one person in Scripture, many, but the one we're going to talk about today is Moses. Man, was he honest with God? And was God honest with him? And so let's go to Exodus 33, 1 through 4 first. And we read this. Now this is coming off. Moses is up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. He comes down. Israel, they build their golden calves. They're worshiping the golden calves and everything. And Moses comes down and he gets angry. And of course, God, he goes back up and God's like, you know, what are these Israelites doing? And so this is where we kind of come into the picture here. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. Boy, this sounds good. This is going well. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Still sounding good. Still sounding good. Okay, Moses is listening. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And then he says, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. So everything was going good. God says, hey, I'm going, and you know, I'm going to give you the land, the milk and honey. You know, they've been told that, what I promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, it's going to happen. But I'm going to send my angel. I'm not going because you guys are crazy. You guys are always doing something wrong. You're building a golden calf and you're worshiping. After I released you out of Egypt slavery for 400 years, and Moses is gone like 40 days. And all of a sudden, they decided, hey, he may not be coming back. You know, we're going to just do this ourselves. We're going to worship a golden idol. We're going to do this again. And so God just, he's saying to them, I can't do this. Because if I walk with you, I'll end up killing you. Because you guys don't get this. But I'm going to send my angel. You're still going to get what I promised. I'm glad I don't live in the Old Testament. I'm glad that I live now, that we have the Holy Spirit that resides in us. Jesus is not going to leave us. God's not going to leave us. But he was showing them. Moses then cries out in the next verses and just goes to God and says, God, come on, man. You know, you promised, and he starts repenting for the nation. And we need to do that sometimes, church. We need to look at what we're doing and saying, hey, this is not lining up with Jesus. I need to look at this and I need to say, hey, God, I repent and turn away from that and move forward with God. But we're going to go to verse 12. So Moses cries out to God, and Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, verse 12, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, and that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in the sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Here's the key. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up there. For wherein shall it be known here that I and the people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? And so we read this section. So Moses is saying, God, if you're not going to go with us, we don't want to go. It's not the purpose of having the land and everything you promised is that we want to be with you. And so God was telling them in the first four verses, hey, you can go, and I'm going to give you the land. And the land that I gave to Abraham and told Abraham about, this was the land that has been passed down from generation to generation. He wanted them to finally have this land. No longer would they be slaves in Egypt, but would live in the land flowing with milk and honey. But then when he says, but I'm not going to go, those were disastrous words to Moses. I mean, we have to look in our own life and say, hey, God, you know, I could be doing a lot of things and still serving you, but if you're not in it, I don't want to do it. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. God said he was going to give them everything, peace, prosperity, and property, and everything had they ever wanted, but not with him. Can you imagine that? I want you to think about that. You know, Moses says, he called it a disastrous word. How can we go without you? The property doesn't mean anything to us. It's you. To get everything they ever wanted, but without God, would be a complete disaster. You got to think about that. We can be doing a lot of things for Jesus. Good things. Remember I said one time, good doesn't always mean God. We can be doing a lot of things, but did God ask you to do that? Is God in it? It could be good, but we could be running around doing a lot of good things, and Jesus says, wait a minute, I thought I told you to go to, like when we went to Watson William, the park when the young people went last week, it was denied the first time, and the first thing that comes to our mind is, oh, someone told me that I was working with, well, we'll get you another park. I said, I don't want another park. Jesus called us to go to Watson and William Park. I don't want another park. That may sound like very like prideful, but my wife and I were in the car and got the phone call, and I said, person said, we'll get you this park. I hung up. I said, I don't want that park. Jesus didn't tell us to go to that park. I was stepping out in faith. 10 minutes later, phone rings. You have your park. Now, we could have went to a different park. Things could have happened. Great things could have happened. Does it mean that God wasn't there? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if God asked me to go, asked them to go to Watson and William Park, then we're going to go to Watson and William Park until God completely shuts the door. And I said, we're going to wait. Give it some time. Let's pray. My wife and I were in the car, like I said. We just started praying. I'm on the phone. I'm on speakerphone, and the person's going, we can get you the other park. I know I can get you the other park. And I'm just looking at my wife going, I don't want the other park. I want Jesus's park. That's where Jesus is going to be. And so Moses is kind of doing the same thing. I'm going to give you what I promised, because I know my Jesus. He's faithful who's promised. And Moses finally looks at him and goes, but if you're not there, it's useless. So the first thing I want us to see is God's presence is unequaled, incomparable, unmatched. It's supreme. Whatever word you want to use, his presence is his presence. And I don't want to do something else, even if it's good. I want to be where Jesus told us to be. And so Moses is saying the same thing. He's saying, so we read the scriptures from 12 to 16. Moses was telling God it was his presence they wanted. They didn't want to go if he didn't go. It doesn't matter if our successes in past in the past, your diplomas, your promotions, your degrees, your job, those are all great things. Those are all great things. Go to school, get an education, find out where God wants you. Find out where God wants you. And go and do that. And so the key is, Moses goes, but God, if you're not there, we saw you, you know, you took us out of slavery. You parted the Red Sea. Why? You took us out of slavery because you were there. You parted the Red Sea. Why? Because you were there. We want to go where you are. Don't give us the land of plenty if you're not going to be there. I want you to put this up on the screen, Max. Should be our prayer. This is what Moses was saying. God would go before us, and that we would join him in what he has already prepared for us. I want you to see that. Take a picture. Take out your phones. I say that sometimes. Don't be embarrassed. Our young kids are on the phone all the time, right? Take out your phone. Take a picture. That God would go before us, and that we would join him. That's the key, that we would join him in what he has already prepared for us. When you can understand and think about that and put that in your mind and have faith to say, wait a minute, I want to go where you are, that means if you're there, it's okay. You've called us, we're going, and guess what? You are preparing us for what you have prepared for us. Hallelujah. We get all mixed up. Should we go? Should we not go? Should we do this or not do this? Hey, find out what God's doing and go join them. Find out what God's doing. So our young people found out, hey, God spoke to them, says, go to the park. Let's do it. Okay, you're there. And we're going to wait and go to the park that you called us to go to. And now even in the church today, people know God, but do they really know God? Think about it. Now we sit here. I grew up in the church. I knew God. I knew about God. I grew up in the church. You've heard my stories. But it wasn't until years later that I really knew him. That I really knew him. Moses realized the need of the presence of God in his life and in his ministry. Do we know that we need the presence of God, the communication, that the time spent with him in love and worship, reading his word, hearing his voice, walking in his ways? Moses knew he had a purpose, but he realized that the purpose had to be, take second place to the presence of God. God called him to do something. That was a purpose. He had a purpose in mind. But that's got to come second to, are we in the presence of God? And that's where God is preparing us in this church. There's many great things that are happening in Calvary Gospel and they're in all our ministries. And I look at Olga back there and her team and Kids Connect. Man, she spends time saying, God, where are you going? I even talked to her a couple times and I says, where is God, right, Olga? Where is God leading you in your ministry? This is what I tell Olga. I told our leaders and other ministries, go pray, find out where God is in your ministry, where he wants you to be without boundaries. Doesn't have anything to do with money, size of building, helpers, leaders. Where is God in your ministry? Then come to me and say, God told me to do this. Okay. I don't want you to come to me and say, this is all the money, this is all the resources I have, this is all the money we have, this is the size of the building, this is the, you know, how many helpers. Now I'm going to go to God and say, God, do you think you could fit into this puzzle? You think, big God, hey, Jesus, the Son of God, you think you can fit in my piece here at Calvary Gospel? We only have X amount of dollars. We only have a size building. We only have so many helpers. Hey, God, you think you can fit in there? No, I can't, God says. But I guess what? I'll give you a plan. That's my plan. And it's probably going to scare you because that's what faith is, walking with God, seeing things that are not as though they are. And if I've given you the plan, that means I have to provide for you. I have to provide the money. I have to provide the resources. I have to provide the size of the building. I have to provide the helpers. That's the presence of God. That's the presence of God. And so Paul, you look at Paul, for without the presence, the purpose has little meaning. Think about it. Without the presence, the purpose has little meaning. I don't want to go someplace where Jesus isn't. And that's, you can be doing something good, but I don't want to waste my time on good things. I want to spend my time with Jesus. Does that make sense? I want to spend my time with Jesus. And so Paul, he's another one in Philippians 3:8-10. Paul's writing letters. He's on mission trips. I mean, he's casting out demons. He's, you know, healing the sick, and he's doing all these things. He's starting churches. He's preaching the gospel. He's Paul, right? He's Paul. And what does Paul say in Philippians 3:8? Yeah, indeed, I also count all things for loss, for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for who I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may what? Gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. And then we go to verse 10, that I may know him. So here's Paul. Paul, the great apostle, writing letters, mission trips, starting churches, praying for the sick and the healing the sick, you know, through the name of Jesus and casting out demons and all this stuff. And still, he goes, I need to know the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be found in him. And I want to know him more. That's should be our attitude. Hey, we're at Calvary Gospel. Calvary Gospel's been here since, what, the 1960s or something, or even longer. And great things have happened. Many people have passed through here. Many men and women of God, and great things and everything. But I'm here going, and you should be going, hey, God, those are all great things. We've seen it happen. We've seen miracles. We've seen people. We've seen ministry. We've seen salvation. We've seen going into the city. They've done this long time before we came. But God, guess what? I still want to know you. I still want to know who you are. I still want to walk in you. I still want your presence. Calvary Gospel wants your presence. We want to know where to go, what to do, and who to speak to. I always like Paul. Paul's in prison. You know, he's writing all these letters, and they're so encouraging. Hey, rejoice. Things are good. You know, walk with God. Don't walk like you used to walk. You know, be faithful. He's in prison, in chains, in a dungeon. He's not in the prisons of America, where they have HBO and Showtime and a pool table and a ping pong table and everything. He's in a dungeon in really bad times. And he's telling us 2,000 years later, we're reading this and saying,
Oh, Paul, thank you for wanting to know God more. Because we're going to tell Calvary Gospel the same thing. I want to know Jesus more. Jesus, what do you have for us? God's presence. Oh, man. Oh, he's so good. Here, put the other one up, Max. The next one. Do we want to know the power of his resurrection? Not do I feel it. Do we want to know? Like Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Do we want to know the power of his resurrection? Not do I feel it. See, we live on a bunch of feelings. We're human. Church, get rid of the feelings. Because the enemy will work on those feelings. But when you have Jesus, and I want to know him more, I want to know who he really is. I enjoy the presence of God. Number two, God's presence is visible. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Tom, God's presence is visible? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Verse 16. This is a different translation, but it means the same thing. Verse 16 of Exodus 33. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, Moses says. I and your people. This is the key. Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct? And they say there, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? This is what Moses is saying. Hey, God, we know that when you are with us, we are a special people. We are distinct. We're different from any other nation. This is the problem, church. This is the problem. The presence of God should make a difference in your life. If it's not making a difference in your life, it's not God's problem. It's our problem. Because even Moses says it. Man, God, if you're with us, if you're with us, we are a distinct people. They will notice. Does people know that you have Jesus? Or do you blend into society and work and at school where they couldn't tell if you went to church or if you knew Jesus or not? Moses says, when you show up, God, you walk with us, we are a people that they know who we are. And so Moses is saying, man, we are a distinct people. Moses was saying it was God's presence that made them unique and distinct. There was a value in God's presence being among them. It was God's presence in Israel that set the people apart from all nations. We know that. Now apply that to today. God, your presence makes me different. It makes me different. It's got to make you different. When you have the Son of God living inside of you through the Holy Spirit, it has to make you different. The same is true of the church. The only thing that sets us apart from non-believers is that we have God with us. You have God with us. Start understanding that you're in the presence of God. And it should change your life. He leads us. He guides us. He's working his will in and through us. You will experience God's divine order. You have peace and harmony with no danger or anxiety to running to you and to seek guidance, no sense that the bottom is falling out. See, we're all going to go through things in life. But it's when we move away from the presence of God and try to do it on our own. Now, is God still there? He's still there. God never leaves us. We know that. But will we tap in to his presence? God, I'm in need. Relationship, finances, health, whatever it may be, children, whatever it may be, car, fix this. I've got things happening. God says, okay, this is what makes us different. We can go through the same thing that a non-believer goes through, but we can walk away and say, God is with me. He is with us. My Savior, my Lord, my Deliverer, my Redeemer. He has sanctified me. We sang that song. I love that second song, Dina, that you did for worship, your team. We're spotless. We're holy. We are worthy. Come on. You know, we've been saying that for a long time. You got to catch that. That's who you are. That's who you are. See, what Moses was saying is,
It wasn't an issue of having everything. That wasn't what Israel wanted. It was an issue of identity. We are separated. We are distinct. We are made to be different. God has made you and I to be different. Not weird. Not weird. One more time. Not weird. Different. If you have Jesus, you are different than someone who doesn't. And so we need to understand it's an identity. We are identified with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what makes the difference. And then we walk in that. It was an issue of identity. We are separated. See, we define ourselves as how smart we can be, how much money we have, our wealth, how fast can we get something done. Are we the prettiest? I mean, young people growing up now, ay, ay, ay. If I don't have the right sneakers at $250 a pop, I don't have the right haircut, I don't have the right color of the hair, glasses. I mean, pick it. Pick it. We are identifying with all that stuff. I need to be the prettiest. I need to have the latest. I need to look like everybody else. Where did God say, I need to look like everybody else? God says, look like me. Why don't we take a little time out, people, including myself? Every time God gives me a word and I teach it, I've got to repent first before it even comes to you. Think about it. I have to look at my life. Hey, let's spend a little more time looking like Jesus than looking like everybody else. And it's so funny, you know, even when my kids grew up, you know, we didn't have the perfect family. They wanted things. But I always like the oxymoron of this. I'm different, Dad. I want to be different. But you went to school and you looked like everybody else. What was different? You wore the same clothes, the sneakers, the pocketbook, the hair. But you ever hear young people, Dad, I want to be different. Mom, I want to be different. Okay, be different in Jesus. Because you're really looking like everybody else right about now. There's no difference. It's an identity issue. Are you identified with Jesus? And so 1 Peter 2:9, it says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and here it is, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Peculiar. It means keeping safe, preservation, possession, property, or reserve. You know what that word really means in the original language? It's his own special people. God's very own possession. You are God's very own possession. That's the presence of God. We are that. We are that. We are his through receiving Christ in our life. He's preparing us, church, for what he has prepared for us. And I want you to understand that. His presence is matchless. There is nothing like his presence. Nothing compares to his presence. Nothing compares to his presence. And I told you I would share something, and I'm going to do it very quickly, and we're going to end with that. We've been talking about being prepared for what he has prepared for you. I'm skipping a few things, but I want to do this, and just hang in there with me. This is very important. I told you I would kind of speak on how my wife and I came here to Calvary Gospel. It was a time of 8 years in our life of preparation. And so why this message means quite a bit to me and my wife is because we had to understand what the presence of God was. Not just, I've been in church 40 years. My wife came to our church in Herkimer for, I was there 40 years. She came a few years after that. So, that was where I felt comfortable. I did almost every ministry in the church. And then later in life, you know, God said to us, I'm really kind of putting quite a bit in a very short time, but I really you need to hear this. Because we're all going to go through something God's going to call us. And so when he started to say, it's time for you to leave, I said, okay. I mean, it wasn't like this, okay, it's time to leave. It was hard. And these are the things that we learned through the process of God is preparing you for what he has prepared for you. It was very hard. We went through some hard times. And our pastor had left because he had another position. It was a good position and everything. And he was there 18 years, Pastor Joe. Really ministered to my wife and I. Just amazing things. And that's why we're here. And but in the process, you know, I asked God, I said, do you want me to put in for New Life Church? And I felt like he asked my wife and I to do that. And so we did. And me as an elder of the church, you know, I was on the committee looking for a pastor. So I took myself off, said, you know, hey, I feel like God's called us here. Long story short, the board says, we want to go a different route. We're going to look outside the church for a pastor. Wow. You want to know if I found the presence of God or not? That was hard. I had reputation. I had a title. I had accomplishments. I had rights. These are all things I thought I had. Hey, it's my turn. Come on. My wife and I have been diligent and we've integrity and we've done everything we needed to do and now it's time. It's time, God. It's my time. He just laughed his head off. It's not your time. It's my time. And when I tell you when it's your time, the first thing I learned, my wife and I learned, is that we had to empty ourselves of the pride, of the rights, of the titles, of the accomplishments. And then God says, you want my presence? Oh, you preach a good word. You tell everybody how good God is and how good God is to you. Okay, you want a word? Here's the word. I want you to go find a pastor to pastor this church. But you're going to pastor it until I bring the pastor. How you like that, Pastor Tom? You're going to pastor it. And you're going to keep it healthy, wealthy, spiritually, financially. And you're going to do what I ask you to do until I bring the next pastor in. Oh, okay. That's not what I said, but. And so my wife and I battled with that. Oh, you want my presence? Okay. Go take this church over. It's not yours. And you're going to give it back when I tell you. Find a pastor. He comes. Lives with us for a while, him and his wife, because they didn't have housing yet. And, you know, we loved them, served them. And for almost 4 years. And God said, okay, you did what I asked you to do. Now it's time to leave. I said, good. All right, we finally can get out. We finally can get out. We did what you asked us to do, God. And so my wife, you know, God's presence, no more could I make it on my own talents and abilities. God was doing a new thing. What was his plan? So, you know, we're looking at this and say, okay, God, I'm in your presence, man. I emptied myself. I did what you asked me to do. Now we're going to go find this. You know, God, what church do you have for us? And so we start looking and we were applying to different places and we were looking at churches that we liked, had the music that we liked, had the building that we liked, had the lights that we liked, had the black walls that we liked. I mean, we were looking at this stuff and say, oh man, that would be awesome to go to that church that has this and that. And so, again, God's laughing his head off and we're applying and things didn't work out. And, you know, but we were looking at what we wanted. Finally, God, I did your presence. Okay, I do what you asked me to do. Now we're going to go into a church that we like. And you know how much I love Calvary. I don't even have to say that. But it wasn't what we grew up in for the last how many years. And so we come to Calvary. And God says, I have a need. I said, all right, okay, I'm getting this. I got, God, you have a need? He goes, yeah. So we've been looking around at different churches. He goes, I have a need. I go, what's your need, God? I want to fill your need. And you know what he said? He goes, my need is Calvary. I said, what? He goes, yeah, Calvary Gospel. That's my need. Would you go? Would we go? You know, my wife was really the catalyst of saying, I really feel God's called us to Calvary. My wife. Not me. Not that I didn't want to come. I just didn't feel like God told me to do that. My wife comes to me and says, it's time. You need to go to, we need to go to Calvary. And so we, you know, we did what we needed to do. But when God said, I have a need, we were really struggling for, you know, towards that whole process. It wasn't a, you know, it wasn't like it was just, oh, everything's good. No, we struggled. I wanted God, I wanted to do what God called me to do. And sometimes it's hard to see that when I'm looking at what I want. God, I want to do what you called me to do, but this looks really, really good. And he calls us to Calvary. I said, Lord, I have no agenda here. What do you want to do? He says, I'm going to give you five things. You do those five things, and I will prosper this church. I will give favor to this church. I will give favor to you. He says, you love God. You love the church. Number one, you preach Jesus. That's why we preach Jesus. You don't compromise his word. We're not going to compromise his word. You be relevant in this society. God, what does relevant mean? He says, the homeless person, the millionaire can come to Calvary, and they both walk out, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I said, okay. Relevant is not lights and music and everything, but I love music, I love lights, I love everything. Nothing wrong with it at all. But, and he says, I got one more thing. You want my presence? I said, yes, Lord. He says, Calvary Gospel is a diamond that I've already created. You do not get to create this church. You don't come in with your agenda. You come in with my agenda. I love this church, Calvary. It's here because I love this church. And is all you have to do is uncover everything that prevents each person from seeing Jesus, from seeing me, he says. That's all your job is. You're a miner. You go get dirty. You go in the hole, and you clear out the muck and the dirt that stops this church from seeing me. And I said, okay, I will do that. And God said, you go after that the next generation. And I said, okay, leave no generation behind. And you guys need to hear this. And you guys heard me. I love this church. There's no generation we're leaving behind. He says, but you go after the next generation. And that's, you know, we poured our life into this church and we poured our life into young people. We pour our life into everyone. But he says, you know, they're going to raise this church up. They're gonna do this. And everyone is going to come. Everyone is going to come alongside of it. Why? Because you're in my presence. Not because you did a good job. Not because of anything. You are doing what I asked you to do. And that's what God is really, he identified things in my life is that if you're going to be in God's presence and in his plan, then he will be glorified. And our dependence has to be on Jesus. We are here. We are here and only here because we decided to follow God's plan. That's it. We decided. Now, I made it sound very easy and very simple. It was not. It was not. I spared you all the, you know why I spare you all that? Because I'm trying to raise up leaders. I don't want them to see and hear the struggles. But you older generation, you know the struggles of being in church. Pray, encourage each other. Pray, intercede. Look at this next generation, and guess what? It's not just this generation. The next generation is, where's, I saw Josh. It's not just that generation. It's not just this generation. That's the next generation. Right there. Okay? It's not the 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds that God said. He never put an age on it. He said, you go after the next generation. After him, it's Olga's team of people. Right there. Right there. This whole back row. God says, that is the generation. You go after every generation. And the ones that have been here, I always tell her, I'm glad you're back in your seat. You don't move. You don't move with Sherry. She's not here. You moved on me. This church, listen, when these front pews start filling up and this church start filling up, we need everybody. I need Elena praying her heart out. I need Sherry praying her heart. I need Nadia praying her heart. I need everyone praying their heart out. The enemy is relentless. He wants your children. He is not going to take your children. We will do everything in our supernatural presence of God, power that he's given us, and we will cry out to God together. Together. I always said, if I had a church of 25-year-olds, I would say, where was God at 40? Does he not show up? I'm glad we're in a church that there's 70, 80, however, down to 4-year-olds, whatever. God has called my wife and I here to do what he's called us to do, but we're going to do this together. The presence of God, he's prepared her and I spared you the 8 years, almost 10 years of what we went through. That's okay. We hung in there. I want you to hang in there. And there's people like you older people have been here a long time. You have hung in here. Warriors. I need warriors. We need warriors. Yvonne and his family. We need warriors. We need warriors. We need warriors. Yes, 25-year-olds can do a lot of running, and they can be very active. I need someone who's going to get on their knees and pray. And this is what this church is all about. So, he has prepared my wife and I, and before we got here, we're just living out the glory of God. That's what we're doing. We went through the wilderness. But I've had someone come to me and say, a very well-respected, well, I won't go down that road because it was a positive thing, but God loves this church. He loves this church, and we're going to do what he's called us to do. He's going to do it, but we need to be in his presence. Even though the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, don't walk out and say, oh, God left me. He did not leave you. The presence I'm talking about is that communication, that love, that grace, that mercy, that reading in the Word, having God speak to you, supernaturally in the Word. Presence, presence, presence. He's got awesome things. If I told you the things he had for you, it would blow your mind. Just a little bit that he's showing me blows my mind. But God has his hand on this, on you, us people, the church. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We know that you've called us here for a time as this. And you've called us to a people, your people. You've brought my wife and I here to a people that is yours. And now you've brought us together as one. In your presence, there is the fullness of joy. What I didn't tell you was, when my wife and I made the decision to say yes, it was the most peaceful time of our life. I've worked in a church for many, many years, and I tell people now, I rest my head on the pillow at night, and there is peace because we're in the presence of God. Is it a struggle sometimes? Sure. The enemy is trying to always do something that's against God's plan. But I'm just being transparent with you as a church. God has a special plan for this church. And we need to stay together, stay unified, encourage each other, pray for each other, lift each other up. Don't bash people. Don't be negativity. Don't allow that. We are here. God's united this church together because he has great plans. And so, God, I thank you how you've brought us all together. And even more people you're bringing, as new people come, they find their place in your presence. Your plan for this church. You bring in the people that you have called to further your plan. I love you, Lord. We love you. I know this church loves you. And God, that you would continue to help my wife and I uncover all the things that stop this church and us from seeing you. Because once we see you in a supernatural way, Lord, you will open up many, many, many doors for us as a church, for us personally, physically, financially, health. You will bring prosperity to this church in many ways. I'm not just talking finances. Finances is one part of it. I'm talking prosperity spiritually. There would be an overjoy of peace in this church, which will make us distinct and different and separated from churches that are not preaching Jesus. Because we will move where you call us to move, and people will look at us and say, "How did you do that?" I said, "We didn't do anything. Jesus did it. That's why we're different, because Jesus does it." Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, thank you for hanging in there with me. Love you.